855-573-5, option 2, or pledge securely online at kpfk.org/donate.
This is KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles,
98.7 FM Santa Barbara,
and online at kpfk.org for the world.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. Go to AutoWeek.com, click on everything I've ever written, and say something nice in the comments. I am joined this week and every week by my co-host, an attorney specializing in automotive law, a Motor Press Guild member, and owner of not one but two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, hey, Mark. Great to be here and loving that we had Seven Stock. I am back from Seven Stock.
Yeah, you got to talk about that. Away. Tell us what happened.
I will do that.
All right. Looking forward to that. And we are joined once again, as we are every week, by our other co-host here. The three of us put this together. He is an industry veteran, senior analyst at iccars.com, host of the nationally syndicated The Drive with Lauren and Carl radio show. Please welcome Carl Brower.
Yay. Hey, great to be on again with you guys talking cars in the car capital of the world. Love it.
We are here. We are back, baby. And you can go see the LA Auto Show. It's still going on. It's going on right now. Last week's show, I accidentally said it was going through December 30th. No, it is only going through tomorrow, Sunday, November 30th. So today and tomorrow, you can still get down to the LA Convention Center, get in there for $25, and you can see the LA Auto Show. I was out of the country. Carl was busy, but Michelle went. What did you see, Michelle, at the LA Auto Show?
Oh, well, I got my steps in. That's for sure. You always do at the LA Auto Show. The LA Auto Show premiere was our premiere. There were lots of premieres, but not as many as in years past. And I attended Media Day, which now is down to one day. It used to be, what, three? Not too long ago. But the big reveal was from Kia with its 2027 Telluride. Now, we had already seen the X-Pro, which is the off-road version of the new Telluride. Kia calls it their Telly, by the way. Did you guys know that?
No.
But they revealed the other non-off-road version, which it would be great for your suburban family adventures. And they also revealed that both the X-Pro and the regular version will be available in hybrid and ICE. In other words, internal combustion engine. So that was the big reveal for Kia. And they had their president there for that reveal. One of the sort of gimmicky things they did was they wanted to emphasize that the X-Pro could tow because it has two tow hooks on the front and the back, which is new from the first gen Telluride. And they hauled in a couple of logs right there in the stage with the
they
president.
Just dragged them across the floor, and there's bark and beetles and squirrels leaping off of them.
Yes, right from the Subaru exhibit, they came right over.
Ooh.
No, I'm just joking, but yeah. So they showed that it could drag things. You know, they wanted to emphasize that there's this integrated tow hitch also on the X Pro, and they did not reveal pricing. They talked about just a lot of the, you know, improvements that they have made in the Telly in the second gen. And,
they're really trying to get people to call it the Telly. That I don't know if that's going to catch on. It's all right.
First, they come out with a new design for it that looks kind of, I don't know. Oh, wait. Actually, you guys like the design and I didn't. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it's very, it's 50-50. You either like it or you don't.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of people who are complaining about it.
Yes. And then a lot of other people who I saw at the show said, oh, they liked it. So there you go. Now, the hybrid, they're claiming it is going to give 50% better fuel economy than the standard version of the internal combustion. So there you go.
What else did you see at the show? Was it?
Lots of stuff. Volvo is celebrating its 70th anniversary of selling cars in the United States. They had on display the EX90 safety cage, and they had the steel and aluminum reinforcements. This was something that no other OEM or manufacturer there was actually emphasizing, except for Volvo, which is safety. And that's always been their biggest selling point, and they embraced it. So on display was the safety cage, and they had a representative there to explain it all to you about how the front and the middle are highly reinforced, and it was really interesting. And then they had a Volvo bus where you could go on and learn about the history of Volvo. One of the things that I thought was really interesting was that Volvo invented and patented the three-point safety harness in 1958, and it was an open patent so that other manufacturers could use that technology to enhance safety overall for everybody. Now, in the U.S., we didn't adopt that until the 70s, so it was kind of a...
We fought against it.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then some other innovations were the headrest. I mean, it sounds very simple nowadays, right? Headrest. I mean, race car drivers use the Hans device and all these other things stabilize their head. But cars did not have that. So credit to Volvo. They also had the big attraction, I think, was the Corvette exhibit with the ZR1X with 1,250 horsepower. There was a lot of attention over there, a lot of people wanting to see that ZR1X, excuse me. And it's a concept, okay? And it was super hot. I guess it was at Quail, but they showed it at LA Auto Show. And then, of course, the regular Corvette that is on sale right now. But the CX is the concept. The ZR1X is the one that's on sale that you can actually get. Hyundai has its new IONIQ 6N. And this is the same color as my Miata. It's this light blue. This seems to be a color that's catching on. And so they're saying that the IONIQ 6 has more visual upgrades. It has more sporty. It looks actually to me like a Veloster. And it's a lot sportier looking than the IONIQ 6 that is on the roads now. Toyota had its new RAV4, and that Toyota just has a massive display. I'd say of all the OEMs, they had the most vehicles out. They had like everything that they sell out on display. But the only new thing for them was the RAV4. Chrysler, still offering only two vehicles, the Voyager and the Pacifica. So if you're into the minivans, you go there. They showed off sort of a concept of a Pacifica that's made for off-roading. You ready for that?
Yeah.
Really interesting. And then Jeep. Okay, lots of interest in the Recon. That's their all-electric, 650 horsepower. It's smaller than a Wrangler. Okay. But what's cool about it is you can take off the doors and the windows and the top easily. Remember, they used to say, oh, it's easy to get all those things off. They have redesigned everything so that on this particular model, it is actually easy to take everything off, because they were criticized for it's not really that easy. And it's also not easy to get everything back on and in the right order. So there was that. And then on Genesis, okay, so you tested what in France, Mark?
The GV60 Magma. Okay.
All right. They had that there. They had one. Oh. And it's in that bright orange color.
Yeah, really bright orange.
So you can go to Genesis and see that. And then another cool thing was the VW story. And this is an only in LA thing, but do you remember when the Palisades fire occurred, the AP photographer took a photograph of a blue and white bus, a type 2 Volkswagen bus.
Right.
And it survived somehow, the fire and all the ravage around it. Well, it was there. And Volkswagen figured out who the owner was. It's a young lady who lives in Malibu, and they had their restoration team in Oxnard take the VW bus and restore it. And so they had this bus there in its fully restored condition, and then they had a PR lady come out and tell the story. And it was just, oh, it was wonderful. And then they had the guys on hand, at least for media day, who did the restoration project, so we could talk to them. And it was just one of those moments that LA, you know, it was a great thing to do at the LA Auto Show. It wouldn't really have worked anywhere else. And then they, of course, showed that right next to the new ID Buzz in sort of the same color scheme, blue and white. And by the way, at the Peterson, they're going to have that particular bus on display through January once the car show is over, and which will be tomorrow. So if you want to see it at the LA Auto Show, downtown LA, go tomorrow. Or if you want to see it at the Peterson, go through January.
And Carl has.
So you know what?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what they should do? Is there any way they could leverage that same system for rebuilding the houses from the Palisade fire? Sorry, I had to throw that out there.
That's taken so long.
Yeah,
and Altadena is the same way. There doesn't seem to be, it's like there's almost nothing rebuilt there. It's
We're approaching a year since that happened, and the only thing that's been repaired and restored is a Volkswagen bus, which is cool. I'm glad that was restored. I'm glad they did that. It's just tragic that that's the only signs of improvement from the area. But anyways, keep going.
And there was one house announced last week that was rebuilt.
Speaking of the Altadena fire, every Saturday morning from 8 to 10, there's Altadena Cars and Coffee, and that's a whole bunch of people. You know, half of them lost their houses, lost cars, lost everything, and that community is still coming together. Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. It's a nice group. I've been up there several times. Everybody's very friendly. You can just hang out and chat with whoever you want to chat with. It's a good time. Was that it, Michelle? Is that all of the LA Auto Show?
Oh, I had two more EV items I wanted to throw in. Lucid, they have their SUV, all right? So they've been selling a sedan for years. They have now their SUV called the Gravity. They had it there at the LA Auto Show. And last but not least, Scout, which is an EV maker. They also had a very nice display. And they have their two concept cars. They are not ready yet. Their factory is still being built, actually, in South Carolina. And they're based in Michigan. And even though I'm going to go there in a couple of weeks, I talked with their PR lady. They're going to have an event in the spring in Michigan. So I'm going to go back and bring you more information.
Driving
on
cars?
Scout. Yes. That's the whole point. Yes.
Good.
Nice.
Good. All right. That's your LA Auto Show update. You can still go see the LA Auto Show the rest of today, and you can see it all day tomorrow, and then it'll be gone, gone, gone for another year. So thank you for going to that, Michelle. Michelle took the hit for all of us and walked 11,000 steps through the LA Auto Show at the Convention Center. Thank you, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Right. Other stuff going on, because we are still in the calendar section here. This is something that I've never been to that I want to go to because I like Italian cars. It's called the second annual Cars and Focaccia. Focaccia, as you know, is a kind of bread that they bake right there. And it looked on the website of this place like they put all kinds of stuff on it, folded over like a calzone. It just looked delicious. It's an Italian restaurant that has an Italian car show. So on November 30th, which is tomorrow, from 10 a.m., the name of the restaurant is La Parlatos, sorry about that. La Parlatos Tarilla. at 2947 East Broadway in Long Beach, or you can say in the LBC if you're really cool. And it looks like a lot of fun. I'm going to have a Ducati, and I'm thinking of taking the Ducati down there, a Panigale V2, just a beautiful motorcycle. So hopefully I will treat that bike the way it deserves to be treated. And I'll be there. Second annual Cars and Focaccia, 2947 East Broadway. That is tomorrow, November 30th. And be fun. And you can get, you know, go there hungry, because it looks like focaccia looks delicious. Never had it, I don't think. Up in the other end of town, Bells and Vaughn, which is a body shop that's been in Pasadena since 1946. They're going to have a little get together on Friday, December 5th for a Japanese night car show with food prizes and Hot Wheels racing. It's at 200 North Allen Avenue, Pasadena, California, 91106. Sadly, Vaughn is not a relative of mine. So whoever Bell was and Vaughn, I'm not making any money off that. Although I would be happy to lend my name and credibility to that fine event. Speaking of which, Ogara Coach is having, once again, bringing back the Sunset GT, which is a gathering of exceptional hypercars that you will never see all gathered together anywhere else. I've never seen it. I've been to a lot of car events, a lot of international car shows, and I've never seen the collection of supercars, hypercars, and rare collector vehicles. This will be on December 6th at the Peterson Museum on Wilshire and Fairfax at 9 a.m. on December 6th. It looks really cool. It is a toy drive, so bring a toy and see a bunch of really cool super-duper hyper cars. For hyper motorcycles, Michelle is going to tell us where to go.
Well, you have to go to Pro Italia in Glendale on Saturday, December 6th at 9 a.m. for Taco Day. So we had the Pro Italia guys in the house, quote unquote, to talk about what's going on there. They had an expansion recently, so they have lots of display space for their Ducatis, Moto Guzzis, and there's a third one.
Aprilia.
Aprilias, that's it. And their store is at...
Bimotas anymore, but yeah, everything.
So their store is at 3319 North Verdugo in Glendale. They will have free tacos and they will talk your ear off about motorcycles if you like.
Nice people. You'd meet the nicest people at those things. I don't know. Motorcycle people seem to, I've not met a mean one, but you know, I guess I've seen in the movies that sometimes, you know, they're not nice. In real life, they seem to be pretty nice. And then what else do we have, Michelle? This one's yours too.
Right. It's the same day, Saturday, December 6th, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Wally Parks. That's the NHRA Motorsports Museum in Pomona. They are having cars, coffee, and a holiday gift drop-off event coordinated with Chips for Kids. That's the CHP organization. They will collect the unwrapped toys and distribute them to families in need for the holidays. So if you would like to go out to Pomona, you'll actually get free admission that morning to the NHRA Museum, which is a wonderful place. And that address is 1101 McKinley Avenue in Pomona. And they say to enter through gate one off of Fairplex Drive for that event.
Very good. Our old buddy, Matt Stone, an author. He was on staff at Motor Trend for many, many years. He has been writing books for many more years. He is going to be at Autobooks Aero Books on Saturday, December 6th, a very busy day for anybody who wants to try and do all this stuff. He'll be there from 11 to 3 at Autobooks Aero Books signing his new book about cars that appeared in movies. So everything from Goldfinger's Aston Martin DB5 to Bullitt's Mustang GT390, Thelma and Louise's 66 Ford Thunderbird convertible. What's a GT390? Is that a typo, Carl? You know these things.
Nope, that's what the Bullitt Mustang was. You know, a lot of people don't realize that that car had been debadged. Steve McQueen, I think, thought it would be cooler for Frank Bullitt, the police officer he was playing, to be in a less ostentatious Mustang. So he got the GT 390 car, which had the powerful engine and the manual transmission, but he pulled the badging and put on those cool torque thrust wheels and I think a different steering wheel so that it looked, well, more like almost an undercover performance car for the cop who was driving it. It looked more like an enthusiast than a policeman who'd be driving that car, which I think is exactly what he wanted.
And we know that it did better than the Dodge Charger in that movie.
It definitely ended the chase with a busted A-arm, it looked like, at the end there. And that's a lot better off than how the Charger ended that movie.
So all that and more will be in Matt Stone's new book that he will be signing at Autobooks Aerobooks Saturday, December 6th from 11 to 3. Their address is 2900 West Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank, California. Check them out. Quickly, I'll just say, December 7th, there will be a new exhibit opening at the Peterson Museum called Legends of the Dirt. It's going to have lots of off-road racing vehicles. Big Ole will be there. Of course, Parnelli Jones' big Ford Bronco that he used to win the Baja 1000 2 years in a row, and I think it was 71 and 72. There will be some rally cars and Tanner Faust's Volkswagen new Beetle that he drove for Andretti Racing in Global Rallycross, I think. There'll be a lot there. That opens December 7th at the Peterson Automotive Museum. It's only $25 to get into that museum, and I think another $18 to park. So that'll be fun. Oh, one last thing. We'll move on here. The Cars, Bikes, and Coffee, which is usually taking place, I think, every month or two or three at the Honda World Headquarters in Torrance, was scheduled for Saturday, December 13th. That particular event has been canceled. We don't know why, but just get the word out on that. Oh, one more quick thing. Charles Phoenix is going to do a Holidayland slideshow December 14th and Santa Ana. Charles Phoenix has been on this show. He is a brilliant entertainer. He's like 6'5". And he has quite a stage presence. That will take place at Bowers Museum, 2002 North Main Street, Santa Ana, California, on December 14th, 3 p.m. in-person event. Okay, we're going to skip on ahead to the news. And none of us, it turns out, went to the Las Vegas Grand Prix. But Michelle was kind of paying attention. So
I was.
Michelle, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I watched the qualifying in the rain, all right, and the stands were empty, and it was kind of a nightmare for the racers and the teams. They were miserable. It didn't matter that they had their rain tires on. They were scared. There were a couple guys that hit the wall, and none of the big players, but, you know, the rookies made rookie mistakes. And then everyone was worried, oh my goodness, what if no one shows up, you know, for the actual race? But the stands were packed. Apparently, a lot of people just didn't want to go because it was cold and rainy on qualifying night. So it turned out to be a successful Las Vegas GP for the city in terms of they always look at the money and the attendance. And Beyonce was there with her custom race suit with her chest hanging out. And she had a custom made suit because she wanted to go do hot laps with Lewis Hamilton. And so she had to have the right outfit for that. Okay. So it was
a little catty, but we'll roll with it.
Wow.
Hot laps. We like it. Hot laps.
Beyonce got hot laps.
Gosh.
Yes. And the other news, the other takeaway from this Grand Prix was that the McLarens were disqualified. The stewards, you know, in F1, they call them stewards. Notice that there was excessive wear at the undercarriage of both Lando Norris and
It was only 1 millimeter. That sounds absurd to disqualify the result.
So
it's not like they were running, you know, nitro or something, nitrous. It just seems absurd. I think it was a blatant attempt to try and make, keep interest going in Formula One. Gosh, will Verstappen take over and finish off the year with the greatest comeback in F1 history? I don't know. What do you think?
They were too lowered, and so they were scraping. So that's a violation of the rules, according to the stewards. So they were disqualified.
Can you even see 1 millimeter? Is that how long is that? That's like a couple pieces of paper.
Okay, I'm not going to make any rude comments.
Yeah, you don't have to. Having said that, anyway, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority CEO Steve Hill said that the race is getting better every year. This is according to the Las Vegas Review Journal, and they put together the lessons they learned from the first two Grand Prix when, you know, the thing was run in the middle of the night and freezing weather, and then it wasn't running. They kicked everybody out. They said they're doing much better than that. So we'll see.
Hey, all the manhole covers stayed in place this time, right?
Yep. That is true.
So. Yes. Yeah. The city is doing better with the infrastructure also, as far as less inconvenience to the locals and the local businesses, because they were crying foul. This is not good for us in the lead up to the assembly of the track and the teardown. So they were instantly tearing everything down as soon as the race ended, which is good.
Yeah. Or they were doing a good show of tearing everything down so that, you know, people wouldn't complain. Yeah. But anyway, I was there a couple weeks before the race, and there was stuff everywhere. You know, they were taking lanes away, and it was, but you could still drive around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was I there for? SEMA, that was fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was there for that Wynn Concours, and it was already, I'll just use the word, somewhat compromised on the road. I won't use any other more colorful words, but you could tell that the logistics of moving around the city, which are never good, LA in Las Vegas. Right. It's like a sparkly LA in that it's got all the bad traffic, just like LA. But it seemed a little bit worse on certain areas because of the race that was weeks away. But hey, that's just me being a complainer. So never mind.
Did either of you guys ever attend the Long Beach Grand Prix back when it was Formula One?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. And I was just so happy that there was a Formula One race. I didn't notice any of that. I got over there on a motorcycle, and you could park that anywhere, and it was great. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we're older and we are expecting, you know, a limo to take us around or something.
Or maybe the trick is the motorcycle. We just all need to use motorcycles in Las Vegas, not just for Grand Prix week, but every day. And then everything would be much easier if everyone was using motorcycles.
Everybody would be happier.
Well, yes, they would.
It's Vegas, and they should get those flying things that we were talking about that they're looking at in LA for the Olympics.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Like I said, I will be amazed if that actually happens. But, you know, who am I to question any of that? All right.
Question: anything in LA being, any LA promises being broken? Come on, you can't question that. That never happens.
Cannot. Never. Next year, speaking of next year planning, Pebble Beach Concours tickets are on sale now. Who wants to guess how much a ticket, the cheapest one, to get into the Pebble Beach Concours is?
I'm very afraid. I'm very scared. What's the price?
I remember when the price went over $100, it was a big deal, and everybody was outraged. Oh my goodness, $100, that's, you know, the price now for 2026 is $550.
Wow.
So anyway, they're on sale now. And
you
also
know what's, well, I was going to say, what's crazier is every day it gets more expensive, and every year it gets more crowded. So whoever's running that show must be very, very happy. They keep trying to find a probably price point that the crowds will quit growing, and they haven't found it yet.
It's only crowded if you're not on a motorcycle, okay?
Once again, the two-wheel solution.
And they're also selling tickets for the what used to be called the Monterey Historics, and now it's called what? The Motorsports Reunion or Revival or something like that. Those tickets are on sale too, and those are the only two things that I checked out. But we've got a long time for that because that doesn't happen until August. So, you know, take your time. But we are coming up on Christmas.
75th year, by the way. They're going to do a lot of stuff this year. Monterey, it's the 75th year, and they're talking about a lot of fun stuff. So anyways.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, the track was founded because the former road course that went through the Del Monte Forest, there was unfortunately a death, and they said, we can no longer use this forest. Gee, who would have thought that a tree-lined course on skinny little roads would be dangerous? So they said, well, we got this land up at Fort Ord. Let's just get the bulldozer up there. And then they went up the famous corkscrew. The way I heard it was the bulldozer was heading up there and there was a tree in the way. So the bulldozer turned left and then right and continued on. And that's how you got the corkscrew.
Wow. I never heard that.
Yeah. And why do they put a, like the K rail right there? So if you miss that turn, there's plenty of runoff, you know, and instead they just have a K rail right there. And yeah. I've seen cars hit it. They go wham. Same. And flip over and it's just
flip over.
Yeah. Same. Silly. It's so dumb. Anyway,
yeah. So, but you can buy tickets for all that action too. So anyway, if you are thinking of Christmas and what to buy people, because I'm thinking of what to buy Carl and Michelle here. And I think I have found something here. Christmas gift idea. While we here in LA wait to see what the heck's going to happen at Willow Springs, and it's maybe too expensive to buy a home at the Thermal Club, here is a place in Phoenix, just south of Phoenix, in Maricopa, called Apex Motor Club, and they will sell you a package for $2 million that includes not only your little condo there. It's a kind of neat little condo. There's a garage on the bottom floor, and up on top is sort of a, I guess you could call it a living space or a hangout space. So you get that. You get a brand new McLaren from McLaren of Scottsdale, which is just north of Phoenix. They don't say what kind of McLaren. I would want at least a 750S for a track car, but maybe a W1. You get a private, $250,000 towards creating the ultimate man cave, they say. So you get a designer who will help design it. I don't know if that's worth 250 grand. 40 hours of professional driver coaching, entry into the Apex Challenge series of races, yada, 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 a whole bunch of stuff for $2 million. So, you know, if you're going to get
Michelle and I each one of those, right? You got
the, so that's $4 million. What are you guys getting me?
Oh,
I think I got an Alfa Romeo t-shirt that I can give you.
Yeah, you got a Chevy hat for me. Thank you.
I think you need a gift card for parts for your Lancia.
Nope, that thing is all together. Don't speak. You're going to jinx it, man. All right. Speaking of cars that are infallible, Michelle, what do you got for us here?
I do.
Waymo, baby. Waymo.
Oh, Waymo. Waymo announced
Waymo that... than you asked for.
Oh, good one. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. How do I follow that? Waymo has their autonomous, a.k.a. self-driving, Jaguars. And they will be now transporting people in L.A. on the freeways. Now, Mark, you had experienced driving in one of those or being driven
in one of those, riding
by your driverless Waymo Jaguar in Santa Monica, I believe.
Yep.
Well, yes. So don't be upset when you start seeing them on the freeways because they're coming. And if you are a Waymo customer, go ahead and try to book that for your holiday travel. And if you're going to go to some other cities, they are also going to be in Phoenix on the freeways and in the San Francisco Bay Area. So there you go. They're expanding.
You know, it doesn't really count if you're going to be on the freeways in San Francisco and Los Angeles because you're not actually going to go freeway speeds in those towns. But anyways.
Well, between 3 a.m. and about 4 a.m., I think you can hit this speed limit in any one of those cities.
Yes, but that's when you have to watch out for those DUI drivers because the bars are closed.
far as clothes, and they're all dry.
It's tricky.
My favorite too.
It's tricky. Yeah. So that's something to be aware of. And then also at LAX, the LAX police are having to issue a warning because there's been a huge increase in the number of break-ins and auto thefts at the parking lots around LAX. They reported 138 auto thefts just this year. I mean, the year's almost over, but last year in 2024, for the whole year, they had 111. And then in 2023, they only had 67 auto thefts out of the parking lots. And what they're saying is happening is that the thieves have figured out that the rear windows of some of the American-made cars are not connected to the car's alarm system. So there's no audible that's happening when they break into these cars. And so the security is not alerted. They bust out the rear windows and they either take the car or they take items from inside the cars. So if you have a Dodge TRX, GMC Yukon, Denali, a Cadillac Escalade, or a Jeep Rubicon, those are the top models that have this problem, and you need to be very careful parking it at LAX. So they recommend do not leave anything inside the car that's visible from outside, and try to park as close as possible to security cameras within the parking lots.
Okay.
Okay.
Or drive a crummy old used car.
Right.
Once drive again, Mark's got a solution to this, right?
I mean, or a motorcycle. Ride a motorcycle.
There you go. There you go. See?
Hey, at LAX, as I always say, you can park a motorcycle for free for as long as you want, as long as you don't take up the parking space. And
but how do you get your luggage down there?
You just bungee cords, baby. Bungee cords on the back.
Yeah. I'm sure your wife loves that. Okay.
I've done it many times. You just bungee cord the heck out of it and, you know, lean over the gas tank and go.
To me, the bigger problem is the helmet. What do you do with your helmet, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
I cable lock it to the bike.
Oh,
okay.
So they can't steal it. So, yep.
Okay.
There you go. Great solution. We've got a solution for everything here at the Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
And for your Carl happy holiday gonna, travels.
Carl is going to tell us, take us all the way to China for our next bit of news. He got to drive a very interesting car that could be the future of transportation worldwide. What was it, Carl?
It'll be the future everywhere except here because we have tariffs. Thank God. Oh. But the real answer here is the BYD Tang 7. Yes, that's its name, T-A-N-G 7. And if you haven't heard of BYD, you probably should start listening for that name because they're taking over. The Chinese car manufacturers are taking over the world in general. BYD is among the biggest of them. But they are producing incredibly impressive cars for incredibly low cost. And the result is that they're gobbling up market share in like South America and Brazil and in Europe and, of course, in China, where the American car companies and Volkswagen and some others were over there for a while. And I think they all thought, hey, look, this will be real easy. We'll make a lot of money off all these people. But you had to partner with a Chinese company, usually a Chinese automaker, to be able to sell your own cars there if you weren't from China. And I think they learned all the manufacturing and engineering and design elements from us as we were doing that. And then once they had it all figured out, they're like, we don't want you guys here anymore. And so all the market share, they're doing various tactics so that GMs and Volkswagens and Ford's sales are cratering there while all the domestic Chinese brands are growing very successful in China and everywhere else. So I was testing World Car of the Year candidates in Pasadena recently. And one of the cars they had there that was very cool, they were able to bring one in, was this BYD Tang 7. And if you want to know what it kind of is, think Mercedes GLS. And that would include not only size and three rows of seats, but also interior quality materials. And the thing's got some crazy specs. And crazy is in good. There's an electric version that makes 1,100 horsepower and does 0-60 in 3.9 seconds. And then there's a hybrid version that only has 544 horsepower and it only does 0-60 in 4.3 seconds. And it's got a 100 kilowatt hour battery and it can go around 400 miles on the pure electric one without being before it needs charged. and it's very comfortable. It's got a giant screen, 15.6 inches inside, that can rotate. You can turn it on its, you know, like horizontal, vertical, landscape, whatever. And the price for this car is around $38,000. It's less than $40,000 equivalent dollars. So that is why this car, and it was very fascinating to drive it, was a great example and a frightening kind of alarm or early warning system, for me at least, as to why every non-Chinese automaker either is or should be quite concerned.
Did you get a sense when you drove this that did it change your opinion on electric cars? Did you think that maybe you could own an electric car among your stable, among your fleet?
Well, I would always be open to owning an electric car if it made financial sense, but that means it's got to cost about what the equivalent internal combustion car, ideally maybe a little bit less, to make up for the reduced flexibility on charge times and those kind of things versus refueling. And that's why I'm not a big fan of electric. And then they also lose their value. So I feel like financially it's tough for me to justify an electric car, but this car at $40,000 with the luxury and tech levels of something that would cost over twice that in the US, even with a pure electric drivetrain, would be very compelling to me and 400 mile range. And then of course there's the hybrid version, which wouldn't even have range anxiety, and you could just keep driving even if you have to go 1,000 miles without taking, you know, long breaks to charge it. So it's very impressive. Just, it looked good. It operated well. You know, it had the door handles that would go flush when it was locked and everything. And it just had, I think there was a refrigerator in there. They're just putting together. And then I had to do an interview last weekend on the, let me see if I can say this right, Guangzhou Auto Show, which is like, I think, the third or fourth largest city in China. Most people never heard of it because it's only 6 million people instead of, you know, like twice that at some of the other cities. And I looked through, I ended up watching a very in detailed walkthrough of the Guangzhou Auto Show by a YouTuber that was over there. And it was just further kind of scary stuff to see and hear and see what they're doing there, whether it's XPeng or Xiaomi or some of these other car companies that none of us have heard of over here that are producing incredibly impressive vehicles at incredibly low prices over in China.
Ford CEO Jim Farley was recently interviewed us a few weeks ago, and he addressed that. He said that very same thing, that he went to China, he looked around, saw all these cars, and he said the connectivity and all kinds of other things just blew him away. He said, we are behind. We are far behind. Of course, our industry is not subsidized like theirs is. Maybe their crash test standards are a lot simpler. So I wonder if that BYD that you drove, Carl, would meet U.S. crash test standards, DOT standards, all the other crazy standards that our government imposes on car makers here, in our interests, the consumer's interests, of course. But I wonder how much that BYD Tang 7, great name, Tang 7, I want to get a T-shirt that says that. I wonder how much that would cost if it had to meet U.S. specs. Did you get any sense of that?
Well, that's a great question. And that's what a lot of the people are saying, is that, you know, first there were like the Chinese cars from like 20 years ago and they were pretty bad. And then there were the cars from like 10 years ago and they looked good and they had a lot of impressive stuff. But if you scratch past the surface, literally, the build quality and all was pretty. Now, everything one is saying, and everything I saw on this one, is like, no, not even the build quality is easy to attack. Now, how it would score in crash tests and I always forget the name of that big one in Europe, the something standard or whatever, like NCAP. That they have all the NCAP. Yeah, you know, they have all these things. That's a good question. And the other thing that I always want to remind people of when they say, you know, we got to compete with the Chinese, I always feel like saying, okay, so we're going to outlaw labor unions and we're going to remove the minimum wage and we're going to you know, take away a lot of worker benefits and rights and protections and all. I mean, if you want to compete with the Chinese, then
that's what
you
got to
do a bunch of things. Yeah. And so, and I feel like a lot of these people who are like, well, you know, we're going to lose, they're going to beat us in the electric car race. It's like, well, they've got a few advantages. And if you want to compete with them in the electric car race, we're going to have to do things in the U.S. policy-wise that I'm betting most people will be like, well, I don't want to do that. It's like, well, then you can't compete with China. So just figure out what you figure out how the world's really working around you and then decide what the best move is. But don't just be simple-minded and be like, they can produce these cars, why can't we? Because I'm happy to tell you why. And the story's something that's, you know, not easy to resolve for us.
I saw a number of them at CES earlier, I guess, this year. So CES, of course, it happens early January. So I saw a number of them there, and they were saying the same thing that Carl, you just said, that here's this car with all these features, and here is the equivalent price for that we could sell this for in the U.S. I can't remember the name. It might have been Neo. There were a couple of others, but they were impressive, very impressive electric cars. They were all electric cars. So, you know, who knows, man? We could all be driving Chinese cars soon.
A lot of the other countries besides us will be, Mark. And the only question is, how long do we, you know, will the tariff thing kind of shield us? Because the only Chinese cars here right now have Volvo and Buick and Lincoln written on the outside of them, because those are built, those are Chinese companies that own those, own the cars that are coming over here. But it, you know, it's going to be interesting. The long-term solution is going to be interesting to see what we want to do. But as far as just pricing and price versus content, there's, we can't even come close.
You get the sense that we are retreating into isolationism again, where we are not participating in this global competitive environment. We are sort of, all this protectionism will keep us from advancing while the rest of the world advances, and we're going to sit here, you know, maybe get passed by, who knows. Well, anyway, thank you for that report on the BYD Tang 7. Carl, on the absolute opposite end of that spectrum is a car that I just drove, the Ford Mustang GTD, the best muscle car ever made, depending on how you measure these things. But there's a lot of empirical data that suggests this one certainly is the best. It is a Mustang. Yes, that is true. But it is much, much more than that. 5.2 liter supercharged V8 making 815 horsepower, 664 pound-feet of torque. It is a Mustang. Jim Farley, again, he looked around and he saw the Mustang GT3 race car, and he said, why don't we make one of those for the street? Now, the advantage of starting with a race car, usually you think of a race car as going to be more performance than the street car, but a street car is not constrained by the rules of a racing organization. So they were able to take, I think the GT3 race car makes like 500 horsepower. These guys were basically unrestricted. So they went out with 815 horsepower. And what they did was they wanted to make a Mustang GTD that could lap the Nürburgring Nordschleife in under 7 minutes. That was their goal, because Porsche had just gone 649 around the Nürburgring with their 911 GT3 RS, and that's the thing that they wanted to beat. So they put, they made it, they put active aero, which of course you cannot get away with on a racetrack. The rear wing actually flips up and down as necessary. It does that automatically. It has sort of the louvers in the front to adjust the front airflow. So you've got aerodynamic efficiency going on there. Of course, it has carbon ceramic brakes. It has a really cool inboard pushrod rear suspension with semi-active dampers. That was so cool that they actually put a glass plate over the rear the rear wall of the cabin so that you can watch it as you're driving down the road. Carl's holding up a screen that says something. What does it say? A boat? It's a boat anchor. What is a boat anchor, Carl? What are you talking about?
Sorry, that car weighs too much. I'm sorry.
I'm getting to that. I am getting to that now. Okay, you've got all that horsepower, but it has to move around 4,343 pounds. That is, compare that to 3,268 pounds for the GT3. That is a little bit. A little bit crazy, but it has a dry sump, man. Carl, it's got a dry sump. Come on, man. It's got a dry sump. It's got unique exhaust routing. It's got titanium exhaust. et cetera, et cetera. Top speed, 202 miles an hour.
It weighs more than my Dodge Demon, and that is not a good thing, because the Dodge Demon is only supposed to do one thing, and one thing well. It is not supposed to claim that it's a quote-unquote track car. So, sorry, that's just my not-so-humble opinion. I look at that car, and I look at those specs, and I look at the price, and it's like,
well, that whatever. I took it up. I talked my way into this. I weaseled my way into this with our good buddy Mike Levine at Ford. I was down at that Ford, what do you call it, down there by the LA River, the immersion, Ford immersion program, where you can still go. I think it's still running. You can go see the Mustang immersion program down there. It's really cool. Just Google Mustang immersion and check that out. But I was talking to Mike Levine of Ford, and I heard that they were going to have a GTD up on Angeles Crest. They were taking it up to Newcomb's Ranch for Good Vibrations Breakfast Club to show to an influencer up there who was going to drive it around a little bit. And they said, well, you can drive it down. And so I did. I got into the thing and I started driving this car, which, by the way, costs roughly $330,000. You can get a McLaren 750S or maybe even a Ferrari 296 for that. And so, you know, comparing it to those cars is not without good reason. And so I got into this thing and I started up. It's got titanium paddle shifters, and I started driving on it. And right away, Carl is right, you notice that weight. But it's not just the weight that you notice. The steering is not quite, you know, you have to compare it to the McLaren and the Ferrari and the Porsche steering, and it doesn't communicate as well. It's a bit, I don't want to say muffled, but it is muffled. The roll control is well controlled, but when you go around a corner, it's just not the same feeling as if you're in a McLaren 750S, man, you can feel every little pebble and rock going around that corner. And it's just incredible. But so for all that having been said, this is the best muscle car ever made, but it's still kind of a muscle car.
Is best judging by cost and weight?
That's what my question was. What is the criteria, Mark?
For the best muscle car. Name a muscle car that's better than this one.
Dodge Demon.
I'm waiting.
Dodge Demon
only goes straight. Can't go around a corner.
Yes. And what did we just say? Best muscle car ever made. A muscle car was not supposed to be.
It is a muscle that the GTD is a muscle car
supposed to handle.
It is a muscle car that can kind of sort of handle.
What about a Corvette?
Corvette's not a muscle car. It's like a sports
more than
car,
two.
Supercar.
You got to have a rear seat. You can't have two seats. But that's a sports car. But no, there's not many modern recent cars. Actually, there's probably too many of them, but there's a few modern recent cars that I just am not impressed by. I'll just say that as opposed to what I might otherwise say. And unfortunately, the gross tonnage debacle, I mean, the Mustang GTD is one of those. I just am not happy about that car. You're going to charge that much money, Ford. You're going to give me a full carbon fiber tub and get that first number to at least be a 3 on the curb weight. For that much. What did they do? They took a GT500 and they added a suspension and carbon fiber body panels, and they sold GT500s for 100 to 120. That means they were costing Ford about 80. You're telling me that suspension and those carbon fiber body panels are worth another $250,000? No.
I'm sure there were other costs. Now, I will say my article, which you can read at autoweek.com, is I compared it to 8 years ago. I got to drive a Camaro ZL1 1LE at a racetrack up in Canada. And that car was 500 pounds less. It also had 165 fewer horsepower, but it felt better around a corner than this Mustang GTD. But the Camaro ZL1 1LE is no longer with us, sadly.
I wanted to say they have one of those GTDs at the LA Auto Show, if you would like to go check one out. And they did have in the display area the record that they set at Nürburgring, which, how many seconds was it?
It was six Hang on.
It was just under 7 minutes, which is their big claim. And then the Corvette ZR1 came along, costing about $100,000 less and beat it. But that's
what 652.
That's it.
Yeah. That's faster than I could go around the Nürburgring in anything.
So you can go see one if you want to go see one.
I want them to get a GT3, a Porsche GT3, which also can do it in under seven, and the GTD, and not do the best lap. I want to see them do the best five laps.
Okay. All right.
Because one of those cars is fighting physics a lot more than the other, and we're going to see what's going on with brakes and tires after three, four, five laps.
All right. Speaking of the laws of physics, I was just in La Castellet, France. Mais oui, bien sûr, je retourne avec moi, blah, 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 blah. That's all. That's just random French words thrown together. I was at Circuit Paul Ricard, thanks to Genesis. And they were introducing, among others, they introduced their GV60 Magma. Now, what is Magma, you say? It is Dr. Evil's favorite. Remember, Dr. Evil was going to drill through the core of the Earth with his super drill and make all the volcanoes in the world erupt at the same time. That was his evil plan. And he was going to release the magma. So you have to say that with your pinky at the corner of your mouth.
There it is.
And that was actually mentioned by Genesis as they called this an evil car because Dr. Evil would like this, apparently, because it's colored like magma. It has this orange color. All their cars have this orange color. You really got to love orange if you're going to buy a magma. But this is an all-electric, two-motor, 640-horsepower crossover called the GV60 Magma. Now, Carl and I both were out in Las Vegas, I think it was 2 years ago, driving, what was it, the Ioniq 5 N, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 N. And that has similar performance and production numbers to this Genesis product. There's no pricing yet, so we don't know what the price is, but I think we might assume that this would cost more than the Hyundai equivalent or even the Kia equivalent, the Kia EV6 GT, all of which do this, but we don't know the pricing. So I got a lap around as a passenger around Paul Ricard in this thing, and it was impressive. We were driven by, what the heck was the guy's name? A very polite German guy. He won Le Mans, I think, 3 times. And he is now driving for Genesis as they enter WEC, World Endurance Championship. So, and I was impressed with it. And the plan is that Magma is going to be like BMW M and like Mercedes AMG. So let's see what happens. Let's give these guys a chance. I enjoyed the lap that I got in that car. And they also showed a concept of a coupe that is very promising. So let's see what happens with them. We're almost out of time here. Once again, Carl, we have like 10 seconds. This better be good.
I was just going to say the Genesis is doing very good. Both those cars are very compelling in terms of looks. You're telling us that one of them's compelling in terms of ride and handling because you've ridden in it. So I like what Genesis is doing. Good stuff.
Okay. We're out of time. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black, music that sounds great on your car audio. Go to our Facebook page, which is a really long name, but we're out of time. Can't give it. Sorry, Michelle. And we will see you right here, same bat time, on The Car Show.
When the headlines are full of spin and the truth is hard to find, where do you turn? You turn to KPFK, because when our backs are against the wall, KPFK stands for the truth in media, not the BS. This Giving Tuesday, December 2nd, we're launching our fund drive with a goal, 500 new and sustaining members before the end of the year. We need you to join us. Become a sustainer for just $5 or $10 a month, whatever you can afford, and you can help ensure that the truth always has a voice here in Southern California. Stand with the truth. Become a member or renew your membership today by calling 818-888-8888. 985-5735 option 2 or pledge securely online at kpfk.org/donate.
ICE is escalating deportation operations around the Los Angeles area. But if you are stopped by ICE officers, you have constitutional rights, regardless of your immigration status. If you or someone you know has been detained or wants to report ICE, more information is available at CIRLA at 888-624-4752 for legal help and resources. It is bilingual. More information at CHIRLA.